Turning now in the scriptures to Isaiah 42, we're reading Isaiah 42 verses 1 through 17. Isaiah 42, 1 through 17. Hear now the word of the Lord. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and those who dwell on them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices. The settlements where Kedar inhabits, let the inhabitants of Selah sing aloud. Let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. The Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout. Yes, he will raise a war cry. He will prevail against his enemies. I have kept silent for a long time. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now, like a woman in labor, I will groan. I will both gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and wither all their vegetation. I will make the rivers into coastlands and dry up the ponds. I will lead the blind by a way they do not know. In paths they do not know, I will guide them. I will make darkness into light before them, and rugged places into plains. These are the things I will do, and I will not leave them undone. They will be turned back and be utterly put to shame, who trust in idols, who say to molten images, "You are our gods." Thus far in the word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 12 cites verses 1 through 4 of our passage, showing how these verses are fulfilled in the ministry of Jesus Christ. The humble servant of the Lord has come in Jesus that is talked about here. Verse 1, the Lord upholds his servant, Jesus. And we see the means are through the Holy Spirit who is upon him. And just thinking through the scriptures of how the Holy Spirit was upon Jesus, and how it was a blessing at his conception and thus born without original sin, his childhood and youth growing in wisdom and stature, his baptism when Jesus was filled with the Spirit when it came down upon him, at the temptation of Jesus, he was upheld by the Spirit. His public ministry helped along by the Spirit at his death, resurrection, ascension, his offering through the Spirit without spot to God. The passage then goes on and describes verses 2 to 4, this character of the servant of the Lord, Jesus. Verse 2, Jesus came in quietness. He didn't come with shouts or raising his voice. He was also gentle. Verse 3, as God's people, we are bruised, battered, feeling as though we are to be destroyed, and yet it is the Lord who is the bruised reed of whom it says, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. He's gentle. He's also faithful. Faithful to bring about justice in verse 3. We see him characterized by strength in verse 4. That he will not be crushed. But in verse 4, the Lord begins to show us once again the redemption. That redemption will not be just for Israel. It will reach even to the islands, the coastlands. It is for all nations, whoever believes. And mentioning the law reminds us of Moses. The covenant made with Moses that did not set aside the promise of God that he made to Abraham. But in some ways continued the same promise. The same promise running through the Mosaic covenant as the Abrahamic. And so here there is a hint, as we see in other places, that Jesus is the new Moses. Like Moses, the servant will be the deliverer. Verse 6, the commission by God to the servant refers to that covenant between the Father and the Son. See verse 6, I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations. And it goes on describing what he will come and do. Sometimes that is called the covenant of redemption. Made before creation, the promise between the Father and the Son, that Jesus would come and bring that covenant of grace to us who receive it by faith. Finally, we see the response to the great servant Jesus as he's promised here, starting in verse 10 to the end of what we read. The response is a new song, to sing a new song. And very simply, a new song is the gospel in praise of the Lord. The same new song we find in the Psalms or in the book of Revelation. Here we see the promise of the coming servant. He has already come, Jesus Christ. And he has brought redemption for the people of God, for all who believe in him. He has fulfilled the law for us who could not keep it, that we would have eternal life by him, by faith. And that's the covenant of grace. And so, as John would say, little children, believe. Believe that you might be saved and redeemed. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the promises. Many having already been fulfilled in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we know all are fulfilled in and through him. For all your promises are yes and amen. We thank you that you are the God who, even before the foundation of the world, decreed that your Son would come into the world and save sinners from themselves and from death eternal. That you, by giving the gift of faith, brought us, your people, to yourself. We thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who is truly a servant, humbly serving the people of God, taking the place of that servant and not the master, and yet at the same time never leaving aside that kingship, that mercy, that mastery of us. For he is the Lord, and yet also a man in two distinct natures. And thankfully, one person, God the Son. We praise you for the fact that we can sing a new song. And it doesn't have to be a song of discouragement and despair, but a song of hope in your Son, in the gospel. We thank you that you have put such a song in our hearts. And it even is that which we proclaim unto others when we evangelize and testify of your great works. Father, may you be exalted. Above all, may your Son be exalted. Even through us, who the Spirit has been sent into our hearts in order to glorify your Son. Father, in our worship, we ask that you would glorify your Son. We thank you that we have a humble Savior. And a mighty King, who the Holy Spirit worked through, continues now to uphold him, and who upholds us. Father, we, thinking of our earthly lives, we ask that you would be with those who need healing. At least those who we think need healing, who are sick or in pain, who need surgery, who have cancer. Father, heal their bodies through your means. Earthly means, heavenly means. But in all things, whether we have struggles in body now or struggles in our soul, may we never stop glorifying you and giving praise to your name. For you're the God who sent your servant, Jesus Christ, for us, of which we owe you our lives every day, even if it means death, for your sake. Father, give us such a heart and a desire for these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.